This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to the top people and ideas. Presented by U Mobile.
This morning on the Breakfast Grill, I'm talking to Wee Eng Kong, the managing director of the construction services firm Tuju Setia, the first main market listing in 2021 and is set to go public on May 19th. Eng Kong, thanks for talking to us. Now, you've offered to come up with your IPO at a time when things are quite challenging in the entire industry. And in fact, year on year, financial 2020, revenues are down by 39%. Why did you decide to proceed with the listing?
Thank you, Chong. Our route to listing has been planned over the past couple of years, in fact, over the past 3 to 4 years. Essentially, we have built this company up based on very strong fundamentals. And with these strong fundamentals, we find that we have got a very good list of clientels together with us that supported us. This is due essentially to the reputation that we have built up over the past 15 years.
I understand, but if you've already been working on this for the last 2 years, might it not have served you better if you had waited just a little bit longer? Because obviously conditions are quite tight and sentiment is quite poor.
In terms of last year, we see that despite of the COVID, the year of pandemic, and also the economic downturn, the results for us is very good. We obtained as many as 5 new high-rise projects over the period of last 12 months. So this is very good, very encouraging for us. It's a good reflection of the results of a good fundamental. And in addition to that, Tuju Setia, we also do design and build of hospital projects. So this is a sector that is growing. Due to the pandemic, it has seen that Malaysia is in a severe shortage of hospital beds. So in this aspect, we are in a very good position to capitalize on this huge demand for hospitals.
Okay, so Eng Kong, you released your prospectus on the 26th of April and you have about 10 days for applications to come in for the IPO. It's quite a narrow window. What has been the take-up rate so far?
So far, we have been informed that the take-up rate is very, very encouraging. In fact, it has, even in the first 2 days itself, from the public response, it has been, it's exceeded the amount of shares that's available a few times.
Okay, your debut valuation is 13.7 times earnings. That seems a little bit optimistic given the weak market conditions. Did you have much of a say within the in terms of the valuation? And what have you got to say in terms of the optimism behind that?
The valuation of 13 plus for us, is taken over a year last year based on FY 2020 results, where it is our profit is based on a COVID year where our operations has been affected for a few months during that year. So, but in terms of the forward PE, we find that the figures are much lower. In fact, it's in the low teens.
And your listing fees are overall about 5 million ringgit. That's nearly 10% of the entire proceeds of 56 million sought. The biggest portion is for professional fees, nearly 3 million ringgit. Can you defend how much you're paying for professional fees and listing fees generally, Eng Kong?
Yes, this it will come up to... It will come up essentially to about 5 million ringgit.
You appear to be paying a lot though, professional fees and listing fees. Can you defend that amount amount going up?
If you find that because we are going into the main board, and this is the market rate as we have surveyed through the in the recent times, these rates are commensurate with the present market rates.
Well, the authorities only take 57,000 ringgit. It's the professional fees of nearly 3 million ringgit, which seem to be inordinately high. Are these the professional fees that are paid to lawyers, accountants? What other advisors? Can you give a bit of detail there?
Yes, this includes the, of course, our bankers, the lawyers, the accountants, and also the company secretaries.
Now, there's also a large portion of offer for sale, which is basically existing shareholders exiting the business. Over 20% of the IPO, about 19 million ringgit. That's actually quite a big portion compared to the 56 million, again, being sought by the business. Talk about that, if you can, Eng Kong.
We will be moving on. Dato' Wee Beng An and myself, we will be holding a huge proportion of the shares. In fact, we will be retaining some in excess of 66.5% of the shares when it's gone into public listing.
Okay, so but it does seem like quite a lot again, and it does seem, might send the wrong signals to the market. Was there an option to perhaps dial back that offer for sale, or why did you decide to go with such a large portion of offer for sale?
Our opinion is that this amount is, in fact, our opinion, not high. And in particular, because we are in here ourselves, myself, Dato' Wee, we are in here the long term for this company, where we felt that both of us has discussed about it, and we have decided that we will still retain a huge chunk of the shares.
Okay, and in terms of the business, of course, you do building, construction and design as well, but it's a very Klang Valley-focused business, which also seems to be quite limiting because it doesn't address the East Malaysia market, the Sabah market, for example, the northern region in Penang, or even the southern region in Johor, which, due to its proximity with Singapore, might be interesting. Why do you have that focus, and do you plan to expand that in future?
Yeah, in fact, the important part for us is our clientele. And the developments that is that we select to be associated with. First, with the developers itself, you see that our list of developers are of the household names. They are essentially public listed companies. So, and you'll find that we have a huge tender book, about 4 billion ringgit. And in this tender book, most of the projects are from the Klang Valley. We find that the Klang Valley has a very huge demand in terms of rollout of projects on high rise, as well as the hospital projects. So, but we are not we are capable of doing projects in Johor, in Penang, where in fact. Presently, in the past, we have a few projects in Johor.
Okay, so although you're capable of producing in Johor, that doesn't mean you're preparing to go to Johor, because obviously it takes an infrastructure and an ecosystem for your business to do well over there. What are the plans on that expansion, if at all, in future?
Essentially, we follow this established group of clientele that we have, and the location is secondary to us. Is that the present group of clientele we have, they are very involved in rolling out projects in the Klang Valley. So, of course, Klang Valley is also very efficient for us if we were to maintain at Klang Valley. But having said that, we have done before, and we will participate in other states should there be a need for it.
So that makes you interdependent on the fortunes of your clients, and some of the biggest developers, some of your clients include Setia, Guokoland, IGM, and of course Park City, and also Glomec. Now, and Tropicana, some would say that those clients haven't done particularly well operationally because nobody is buying properties, and definitely the sentiment among the buyers is that it's a buyer's market and not a seller's market. How would you respond?
What we find is that our present clientele, for instance, in Desa Park City. So this is one development in the Klang Valley that over the past few years, and even last year, they have continuously rolled out projects in their development. And the other developer that we're associated with, Guokoland in Cheras, again, their projects are selling very well. Recently, if you see again the recent project which we have obtained from Glomec, this development is again selling very, very well.
Okay, we're talking this morning to Wee Eng Kong, the managing director of the construction services firm Tujuh Setia, the first main market listing for this year, and of course set to go public on May 19th. We'll come back after this, Eng Kong, and discuss the prospectus and your company in further detail. BFM 89.9.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U Mobile.
This morning on the grill, we are talking to Wee Eng Kong, the managing director of the construction services firm Tujuh Setia, set to go public on Bursa Malaysia May 19th. Now, in terms of the sector ratio, your prospectus reveals that you say that you cater to a mainly non-residential market. But as of last year, your residential business was at 40% of overall revenues, the highest in 4 years. So what does this mean? There seems to be some kind of contradiction going on here.
In fact, the last year, maybe I'll just give a summary of the contributions from three different sectors for our revenue. The 20% came from the design and build hospital section, whereas the balance 80% comes quite evenly spread between the residential as well as a non-residential component. This residential and non-residential component essentially they are from the high-rise construction.
So going forward, what does 2021 indicate? And in fact, what is the three-year outlook for this this sector ratio mix?
2021 will be a very exciting year for us. This is based on the fact that our order book is as high as about 953 million. This is based on secured projects. Based on this order book, it will keep us busy, in fact, very busy for the next 2 to 3 years. In addition to this, in response to our clientele who is rolling up a number of projects, our tender book, meaning that the amount of tenders that we are participating with our clients, is as high as 4 million ringgit. So we see a very good visibility for ourselves in the next few years at least.
Okay, let's move on to the aspect of safety and health. Obviously, there's been a spate of construction-related mishaps, albeit on the transport front the last few months. And of course, safety has always been a danger where Malaysia has been concerned, lots of casualties and, in fact, deaths. Because you're involved in building construction, Inkong, what can you tell us in terms of your standards and about the overall industry generally? Because it appears that Malaysia construction doesn't pay as much to safety as perhaps it should do.
We are in the construction of high-rise, where safety is of paramount importance to companies like us. First, the CIDB has initiated a good program, the SASHIK program, where what we find is that we have registered all of our new projects that we have obtained to be assessed by CIDB. This assessment is in particular to focus on safety of our buildings. So the second point is that in construction of high-rise buildings, we have also now implemented the self-climbing platform system. So this self-climbing platform is an exterior cage that you will see of the building. It not typically covers 3 to 4 floors of the external facade of the building. The advantage of this system is that our workers will be fully caged and fully protected against any danger of falling as they construct the high-rise buildings.
So you've been incorporated since 2005. You've got a reasonable number of years behind you in terms of track record. What is your track record when it comes to, for example, man hours lost due to workplace mishaps and, in fact, casualties or even deaths at Tuju Setia?
Yeah, our record has been very good over the years. In fact, very, very good. And we find that some of our projects has been awarded by SASHIK, has got a very good rating by CIDB. CIDB, usually they come to our project to spot check. And these results has been very encouraging to us.
So in terms of man hours lost or casualties or even deaths, have there been any in Tuju Setia's time?
We have some downtime, but it is minimal. And a lot of this comes with the due to some are due to accidents at a site where it's not involving our safety system.
Yeah, because you use a large portion of your input costs are from contractors, right? So, to what extent are you accountable for your contractors and their safety standards?
We are very particular. In fact, we insist on the in the high risk areas. We insist that our specialist contractors and contractors have the qualified JKKP licensed safety supervisors for their work.
We're talking this morning to Wee Eng Kong, the managing director of the construction services firm Tuju Setia, the first main market listing in 2021. Now, in terms of building costs, we also have seen that building and M&E are 72% of the cost base for your input materials. What are the details on that front for the layman's perspective?
Important is that the material costs, as well as if you see in our prospectus, if we combine the construction material cost together with the subcontractor's cost, we have been consistent over the years at 87%. 10% is contributed by preliminaries.
What are preliminaries?
Preliminary costs are the costs that a contractor will incur, indirect costs that they incur in the construction. This includes the provision of machineries for the buildings, the cost for the manpower, our staffing costs. Preliminaries are essentially the indirect cost for the our construction.
So when it comes to on time and in within cost deliveries, Eng Kong, what has been the track record of your contractors in the last, say, 1 or 2 years when the pandemic has really disrupted a lot of business?
Yeah, we have built up our reputation essentially on our insistence on on-time delivery. In fact, our repeated clientele has come back to us, give us repeated projects based on two main points. The first one is our insistence on on-time delivery. And the second is our delivery of a consistent quality in all the projects that we do. We are very particular in watching our schedules to ensure that this part of our reputation is intact.
Interestingly, though, steel and concrete costs are trending from as high as 21-odd% in 3 years ago to 12% last year. With the increase in steel prices, what is the outlook for those material input costs?
The steel in particular has been a top because it's on the uptrend now. But what we find is that this fluctuation in cost, in particular for the supply of steel bar and ready-mix concrete, over the year, there has been cyclic fluctuations in the price. Typically, what we find is that on the fourth quarter, the mid of fourth quarter of the year, the price of this commodity will increase, and then it will last until slightly beyond the first quarter of the following year. So in this period, the trend is on an uptrend. But for us as contractors, it is a trend that is repeated over the years. In fact, we have seen this over the past 15 years. But after the first quarter of the following year, we normally notice that the supply and demand takes over, and then that the price will adjust itself to the supply and demand equilibrium. So in understanding this situation, we have incorporated the prices of steel bar in our fluctuation costs, in our fluctuation price fluctuation for the in our contracts, in our contract sum.
Okay, on the corporate governance front, we've seen the Securities Commission, Eng Kong, revised its code on corporate governance the fourth time in the last since it was launched in the year 2001. But we also noticed that you've also allocated some shares, 250,000 shares per independent director, three of them. Why did you find it necessary to allocate shares to your independent directors when in fact they should be independent and impartial?
Yeah, in fact, this allocation of these shares is under our what we call a pink form allocations. We find that the it would be good for us to have them to be personally involved in our system, where they will come in and do their independent assessments on us.
Well, that doesn't send the right signals to the marketplace when, in fact, you want independent directors to be independent, not to be tarnished by the fact that they've been given shares by the owners?
In fact, our opinion is that the amount of shares that we distribute to our independent directors, they are small and they're not material to our business. And this will not affect their independence.
In fact, your IDs, your independent directors, have been given a higher allocation than key senior management, which have been getting smaller allocations than independent directors. This doesn't seem right, though. What's your opinion?
The our opinion is that the these allocations, to the independent directors, they are not not material to the business volume that we are doing, and in fact, the key senior management and the those of the in the key senior management, quite a huge amount, quite a big amount has also been allocated to them.
But on a per person basis, still less than the IDs.
In allocation to the other point that we have is that the in allocating to the senior key senior management, we have also considered their financial standings as well. At the same time as our willingness to issue them these ping forms.
Okay, so you and your other promoter, Dr. Wee Beng Chuan, I'm not sure whether he's your brother or your cousin or one of the family, you'll still both control Tuju post-listing with a combined 65%+ stake. This could be a concern for public shareholders, though. How would you respond?
Myself and Dr. Wee Beng An, we are retaining as high as 66%+ moving on. And we find that this is essentially due to our long-term plans that we have for our involvement in this company.
And in terms of the collections and receivables, where cash flow is king, obviously, for any business, the majority of your clients are developers. And developers are having a very hard time getting rid of the inventory right now. Can you tell us what kind of like how your cash flow is looking in terms of collecting monies owing to you?
Sure. This our selection of clientele. If you see that the present clientele that we have, actually we have chosen this clientele predominantly to reduce the payment risk. It has bear positive results for us, and you see that and we experienced that the our payment has been very good despite the COVID pandemic that we went through last year.
Okay, last question very quickly, Eng Kong. You've got a dividend policy to return 25% of net profits to shareholders, but as you very clearly point out, this is not a formalized policy. You've also talked about how 2021 is going to be a very good year with nearly R1 billion of order book on your hands. What is the possibility of formalizing this 25% dividend policy?
Yes, we have formalized this 25% dividend policy.
Thank you so much for your time. Good luck with the IPO and speak to you next time as a public listed company. We were talking to Wee Eng Kong, the managing director of the construction services firm Tuju Setia, the first main market listing in 2021 and set to go public May 19th. BFM 89.9.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U Mobile, unleashing unlimited potential every day.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.